Genesis tonight, chapter 22. We started last week talking about this Abraham's crisis. And we're going to have to preach more than one message, of course, out of Genesis 22, probably several. This will be my second message tonight on Abraham's crisis. And, of course, he's... The Lord is testing Abraham, as we said last week, and he's going to find some things out about Abraham, amen. And Abraham's going to find some things out about himself, amen. That's what test does to us.
Amen.
It lets you see what you got in you, amen.
That's right.
So I'm going to read the first six verses tonight, Genesis chapter 22. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
All right, Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clay the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together.
Yes.
So we'll stop there for tonight, and you can be seated. Thank you for standing. Lord, we love you this evening. We're thankful to be saved by the grace of God. We're thankful, Lord, God, for the great reports, Lord, of people being saved through the printed page, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that had a part of a hand in my own life, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that somebody gave me a track one day, and you used it and got me to thinking,
yes.
Convicted my heart, helped me to, God, from that point on, God, it was all downhill for me until I got to Calvary. Lord, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for dealing with my heart and drawing me and having so much patience with me that year and a half before I really got saved. I want to thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, God, if all the tracks has even been put out today, Lord, that you'd use them for the glory of God. Pray you'll speak to hearts, Lord. God, I pray you'll help us this week, Lord, to be about your business. And Lord, help us realize that time is short. We've got to redeem the time. So Lord, I pray you'll help us, Lord. I pray now for just a few moments of time, Lord, that you'll help me to preach and feed the flock this evening.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for loving us, and thank you for the church and the people of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us now to be a blessing, and we'll love you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray.
Amen.
And so last week we looked a little bit at the precepts of this burnt offering that Abraham was going to have to make. And so tonight I want to focus in more on the path to the burnt offering.
Right.
And I want to notice, first of all, some problems that could have been on this path as Abraham is taking Isaac, his son, to this mountain that God has showed him to go. It's going to take a little while to get there, 3 days. And so in verse number 2, the Bible says, take now thy son, thine only son, and notice this, whom thou lovest.
Right.
And so Abraham, verse 3, rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clay the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went on a place which God had told him. And so we notice, no doubt there was probably a fondness problem here. The fondness problem. This path would be extremely painful to Abraham, and this sacrifice would be one of sheer agony. You say, why? Because there's no doubt that Abraham loved Isaac greatly. Amen. And so I want to say this, that very few people would be willing to sacrifice things that they love in order to obey God. It's very difficult to obey something that you love in order to be obedient to God. And we can agree tonight that this sacrifice was one that was highly unusual, but it's amazing of the fondness of our love that we have for things and for hobbies and for goals and all that. You know, I got to thinking as I was putting this together, for some reason, I got to thinking about, and you don't hear a lot about it because people don't really use newspapers much anymore, but when newspapers used to be bigger than they are, they had what they call now the obituary column.
Yeah.
And in that obituary column, they would put in things that it'd say something like this: Mr. So-and-so passed away, and they'll give such and such a date. And maybe they'll say about this gentleman, he was an avid fisherman and a hunter, and he loved the outdoors. And then Mr. So-and-so, she passed away on such and such a date, and she loved cooking and sewing. Well, you might not find that in the average female these days.
Right.
But she was an avid, loved cooking and sewing, amen. And now they passed away, and they loved, and they talk about what they loved doing, amen.
Right, right.
And I got to thinking, you know, when's the last time you read an obituary column that somebody, what they love? They love going to church. They love Jesus. They were saved, and now they're in heaven. I'm just saying it was a fondness problem. And listen, sometimes God might put his finger on something in your life that you love so much, and just to see if you'll be willing to give it up in order to obey God to do something, amen. And so there was a fondness problem. Then I believe that number two, there's a figuring out problem. God did not give any explanation for the sacrifice of Isaac. He just simply gave him a command. And the Lord has not always told me all the whys in my life. And the thing about it is, the Lord doesn't have to explain anything to us.
Right.
He don't know me an explanation for this and that happening in my life. That's exactly right. And why this was done, why that wasn't done, why can't I have that? Why don't you want me to let me have that? Sometimes I do know the whys and sometimes not, but that's where faith comes in, and that's where we trust God that he has our best interest in mind. Amen.
That's right.
And so not only was it a fondness problem and a figuring out problem, but it was the finality problem of this thing. Sacrificing Isaac seemed to cancel out the promise that God made to Abraham in the covenant. To experience loss from obeying God's commands makes it very hard to obey. The flesh will flinch and back away, and the world and others might think we're fools. Anyone who will obey God's command tonight for their lives understands that by obedience actually comes addition and not always subtraction. Brother, when you obey God, God will bless that. Amen. Matter of fact, if you'll look with me down in verses 15 and 16, after this is all over with, this great story is all over with, this is what God told Abraham. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, but by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. It's not only addition, but praise God, it can be multiplication. Amen. You obey God, and God will give you multiple blessings every time down the road somewhere. Amen. So you'll never give up anything for God that God won't bless you something better with it. Amen. That's right. And so to Abraham, though, it could have been a finality problem. Then he could have thought about how it was a fiendish problem. I mean, slaying Isaac seemed so evil. It would seem so cruel to kill him. And I think about Sarah. You mean, I don't know if he even told Sarah or not. He might not even told her. I don't know. I don't really think the scripture, I might have overlooked it, but I can't recall Sarah doing anything about this. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't, I don't know. But think about what it would have done to her if she did know about it.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it takes a very strong faith to obey when suffering is involved.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you get sick, you're going to have faith to believe God is doing right.
Amen.
Even in the midst of your sickness.
Right.
It takes strong faith to obey God when suffering is involved. That's the reason obedience is missing so much in our day. For many people who have been down the road of suffering because of obedience, the reality is that the suffering and the will of God ultimately brings the greatest blessings. Oh, my friend, we know salvation required the greatest suffering with Jesus at Calvary. And no one would argue that's the greatest blessing that's ever come to our life. Yes. The greatest suffering produced the greatest blessing. Yes. Thank God for Calvary tonight. Yes. Thank God Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And thank God did all that, then come after me and save me. Praise God, find me and save me. I'm talking about the greatest sacrifice produce the greatest blessing. And guess what? We're enjoying that tonight because of the good grace of God. I didn't have a thing to do with it. He just brought me in on it and let me have it. Amen. And so I praise God for that. Amen. And then we not only notice in this text tonight the path to the burnt offering, but number two, we notice the punctuality to the path. In verse number three, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and salved the ass and took his two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And so he doesn't put it off for a day or two.
Right.
Listen to me, I'm about to say some important stuff tonight.
Amen.
The punctuality to the path.
Yeah.
This duty was extremely unpleasant for Abraham, yet he set himself to the task.
That's right. Yes.
Psalm 119:60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments, is what the psalmist said.
Yes, sir.
Punctuality provided great assurance that the duty will be performed.
Amen.
So, the best way to deal with distasteful and difficult situations is promptly.
Tell it.
Our flesh wants to pull away and push it away and put it off.
Yes, sir. Right.
Trust me. After 30 years of being here, there been a few times, my dear friend, I didn't want to have to deal with what I was going to have to deal with.
Yes.
That's right. And my old flesh want to just pull away and say, well, I really don't have to deal with that.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord says, son, you need to deal with it now.
Amen.
And I tell you, that can be difficult sometimes. This old flesh don't want to do it. You say, why? Because you pretty much well know the outcome about what you're getting ready to do. And it ain't going to be a pretty picture, amen.
Right.
I have not been much of a counselor in my time. I'm ashamed to say that, and I guess I should be a better one, but I have a hard time sitting down with people because every time I do, it always turns out awful, amen.
Amen.
Preacher, I need to talk to you, man. My flesh just cringes every time I hear that.
Yes, sir.
Well, it don't as bad as it used to, but it used to. I mean, oh, Lord, there's something going on now. We need to talk to you, preacher.
Right.
I remember one time years ago, it's probably been about 15 years ago, Tiffany come to me or Todd, and they say, preacher, we want to meet you over at the church this evening. I said, oh, no. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be mad. I don't want him to leave, man. I love him, people, amen.
Yes.
I just know for sure it's going to be bad. I got out here and they had a John Deere lawnmower sitting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Said, we bought this for you to use.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe Miss Timmy even said it then. She wasn't even saved then. She said, you know, it don't always have to be bad news.
Yeah.
I said, well, praise God for that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what I'm saying is our flesh flinches, but postponement always makes it more difficult.
That's right.
Matthew Henry is quoted as saying, while we delay, time is lost and the heart is hardened. So I want to say that postponement, this includes in serving God. It's not good to put God off.
Right.
If God wants you to do something, praise God, and you've prayed, and like this dear brother said he had done, there ain't no need to push it away and run from it. Just jump in there and go do the will of God, amen.
Amen.
And you'll be so happy and so glad that you did.
Yes,
this thing about worshiping, I see people postpone worship. I see people in church before, I mean, they just get so full of God, full of joy, and they'll sit there, and their face will turn red, and you know they're trying to keep it in. They don't want to shout. They don't want to stand up and testify. Why do we do that?
That's right.
Why do we glorify God when he's blessing us and he wants us to worship, why do we want to withhold that? Why do we want to postpone that? Well, not today, Lord. No, he wants it done now, amen. He wants you to worship him then. Don't postpone God. Amen. Some of you, you need to quit postponing this thing. When God's getting on you, you just need to stand up and just shout her out, praise God, and that'll get all the kinks out of you, and you'll have the freedom and the liberty to worship God. Amen. Amen. First time you ever shout, you'll be glad you did, and it'll be over, and then you'll get all that behind you, and then it'll be just like eating cake. Praise God. That's right. Amen. I remember first time I shouted.
Sure.
I run around that front of that church that night. I just shouted and hollered, praise God, and I stopped and I thought to myself, what have I done? And it was wonderful though. And praise God, that was in probably back in the 80s. I've been doing it ever since. Amen. Amen. It's good, it's great.
Yes, sir.
They postponed testifying.
Oh yeah.
How many times have I heard you dear people say, well, I was supposed to testify this morning, so I'm gonna do it tonight. Well, you missed your blessing.
Sure.
God wants you to do it then.
Amen.
So it's important for us not to postpone it. And of course, we can talk about salvation. Don't postpone salvation. That's a dangerous thing.
That's right.
And so study some of the great men of the Bible, and you'll find that they're defined as what we would call, and this is almost a bad word in this generation, they were early risers to pursue their duties.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know, they do make 2 6 o'clocks. The 6 a.m.
Right.
And then there's a 6 p.m. But most people don't know nothing about the 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it's been a long time. Some of you have even seen the sunrise.
Yeah. Oh, amen.
You ain't got up early enough to see a sunrise. I mean, it's up and shining. And you didn't get to see it go up. You ought to get up early enough to see it every now and then. That's right. Moses, early riser.
Oh, yeah.
You can read that in the book of Exodus. Joshua, in the book of Joshua. David in 1 Samuel, Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. Job in the book of Job. Jesus in Mark 1:35. They were early risers.
Yeah.
They didn't postpone things. They got up and got it done, amen.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's important for us to understand tonight, the punctuality.
Right.
And then let's notice number 3, the preparations for the path. Bible said right here in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He's making preparations.
Right.
He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clay the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went in the place of which God had told him.
Right.
Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. We can never say enough about preparation.
Yeah.
One of my pastors years ago said this, don't forget the 5 P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Amen.
Right.
Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Amen.
And may I say that Abraham was very tenacious when it came to his preparation for his journey.
Yes,
it would have been difficult to fulfill this precept God gave him without all those items that he had.
Right.
So the ability to fulfill our duty on the path of life has much to do with how well we prepare to do our duty.
Amen.
We're living in a generation that knows nothing about preparation. They're not being taught it. They know very little about it.
Amen.
And that's the reason so many run into all these things and they make the wrong decisions.
Yes.
And then they pay for it.
Yes.
Oh, my friend, I could never express it, put the emphasis on that enough about proper preparation for the things of life. Amen. You know, I feel like most people tend to look at things like these things too carelessly. When problems comes, it comes with procrastination. Just putting it off. And for many, their lives are always trying to catch up. Playing catch up is not a good game for you to have to play all your life. Don't be one of them people that's always playing catch up.
Right.
I'm not talking about catch up that you eat. I'm talking about catching up, amen.
Right.
Don't be one of them people playing catch up. You're always behind, always lagging behind, always lagging behind, always late, always putting up. You're always trying to catch up. Praise God, you're going to be on the other side leading the way.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so, there's one thing I found out in my times of being guilty of that. This can bring on more problems because when you're in a hurry, you have to make more mistakes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If you just lay her out there and get her done, make the proper preparation, you can just go through that thing.
That's right.
And praise God, like a well-fine-oiled machine. But if you ain't made the preparation, and here it comes,
yes,
and you have to hurry about trying to get this and that done, how you going to make mistakes
right
that you wouldn't have made if you was properly prepared.
Right.
And so, nothing wrong with slowing down sometimes to make sure you're prepared for what's coming up next in your life.
Yes.
That's right. I couldn't help but think about this marriage stuff that we got going on here at the church. Three couples in the church plan on getting married. I want to say again to you tonight, you need to do your best to be prepared as possible for marriage.
Right. Amen.
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 And listen, I just want to go ahead and say this. It's not too late to get out of it if it ain't the will of God. You find out it ain't the will of God.
Right.
Of course, you should already know it's the will of God. You done got this far. But there have been a lot of people got this far and found out this ain't the will of God for my life. You'd be better off just go ahead and cutting her off for now.
Right.
And I'm not being mean or ugly. You don't have to clamp that on me. I'm just trying to help you.
That's right.
Amen.
I'd have married the wrong girl if God hadn't intervened.
Tell it.
Yes, sir.
And I was engaged for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful God tore all that up in my life.
That's right.
I wouldn't be where I'm at today if God hadn't done that.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not saying it ain't the will of God, okay? I'm not saying all this ain't the will of God. I pray and hope it is, amen. I'm just simply saying you better be prepared for marriage.
Right.
And the best that you can be prepared for marriage is not going to be all the preparation. There's going to be some things you got a lot of learning to do. Don't think you've got it all figured out. You're probably not ready to write a book on marriage yet. You ain't even married. And I've been married for 35 years, and I sure ain't ready to write no book on marriage, amen.
That's right.
I'm still trying to figure all this thing out after 35 years of being married, amen. And I married the greatest woman God ever made.
That's right. Amen.
I still love her, amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm just saying, be prepared. A new job. I mean, we don't have to stop our new job. Listen, we ought to be prepared each and every day of our life. You ought to be making preparations for in the morning tonight.
That's right.
That's right, amen. And so the preparation's on this path. And here's a good one, the perseverance on the path. The perseverance on the path. The Bible said in verse number 4, that on the third day, it just didn't lickety split and he was there.
That's right.
This is a journey, brother.
Good.
They didn't have a car.
No.
They didn't go by plane or train. Far as I know, they walked.
Yes.
For 3 days.
Yes, your father.
Because all they had was a mule and it was packed down with stuff.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off.
That's right.
The journey took 3 days to complete, more than just a few minutes or hours.
Amen.
So, let me say this right here. It's very easy to see that a major problem in Christian service today is the lack of resolve and commitment.
Amen. That's right.
A major problem in Christian service today is a lack of resolve and commitment. I'm sure this brother no longer, he's been in this for a year. He's now found out he's going to have some resolve.
Yes.
He's going to have to be committed.
Yes, sir.
Because everything ain't going to go like you want it to go.
Amen.
You're going to have some bumps and humps along the way.
Yes, sir.
You may even have some setbacks and disappointments and discouragements and defeats.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Does that mean we quit? We ain't going to go home? No.
No.
No, it ain't time to pick up your marbles and go home, buddy.
No,
no, sir.
Amen.
That's right. I never know what I was getting into when I was swearing to preach on September the 1st, 1985.
Right.
I never knew what all this was going to entail.
Yes.
But you know what? Mama didn't call me.
Amen.
And my church didn't call me.
Amen.
My pastor didn't call me. But Joe, God.
That's right.
from heaven called me to preach.
Amen.
That ordination council asked me, tell me about your call to preach. Well, I said, this is the only way I know to tell you folks. I'm just old country. It's the only way I know how to explain it. I said, I believe God let me be born to be a preacher.
Amen.
If you live with that, fine. I ain't got nothing much else to say about it than that.
Amen.
God let me be born to be a preacher.
Amen.
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 God saved me. He called me. And praise God, here I am.
Amen.
That's right.
And by the good grace of God, next year, if the Lord let me finish, I'll finish preaching 40 years next year.
Amen.
And praise God, it's been wonderful.
Yes.
Been some ups and bumps along the way. Been some discouraging time, but I'm going to tell you right now, hey, resolve. You got to have resolve.
Right.
You got to have commitment. You got to be committed to it.
Right.
That goes for everything that we're involved in. If you're going to get mad, be committed to it. It's not always going to be honey bunches and kisses, amen. You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to get mad at each other. You're going to get upset with each other. You're going to disagree with each other. But you work at your love and you work through your problems and you stay in love with Jesus and you keep going, amen.
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 Yes,
amen. That's exactly right now.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen, the old preacher
amen.
Now. But God, you know I'm right. Oh, listen how easy we quit and give up at the least discouragement and difficulty. I tell you, we're living in a generation of a bunch of sissies and quitters, amen. Hey, man. I mean, the first little discouragement comes around, well, I'm ready to quit. I'm right, where's my pacifier? We don't pass them out at temple, amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right,
amen.
It's good preaching, preacher Deets.
Hey,
man.
Amen.
Perseverance.
Amen.
We was up at Brother Fraser's. He made this little song book. They wanted to have a little different songs they've been singing, so he put this together.
Yes.
And praise God, we sung this song right here on verse page number 7. You know, this was written right after I was born in 1924, amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love it. And we need more of it. You need to find this song and sing it to yourself. I sing a song right here sometimes in my prayer time. Yeah, I got that old hymn, get them old hymn books out in your prayer time. Praise God, get to worshiping God a little bit, get your heart good and warm.
Right.
Or sing some of these songs to the Lord. I am resolved.
Tell it.
I'm not going to sing it. You said, hallelujah. I'm going to read it.
Hallelujah.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my side.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 2, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. Verse 3, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. He, what he saith, doeth what he willeth.
Yes.
He is the living way. Verse 4, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may. You're messing with me, Chris. Quit. I'm trying to preach. Amen. I'm just speaking. Foes may beset me. And still will I enter in. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Number 5, I am resolved who will go with me. Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we walk the heavenly way.
Yeah.
I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Yeah. Oh, I'm saying, where's the resolve? Where's the commitment to carry through what God has put in our hearts tonight, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, somebody said this, difficulty is the very atmosphere for a miracle.
Yes.
It is a miracle in its first stage.
Yes.
If it is to be a great miracle, the condition is not only difficulty, but an impossibility.
Lord.
The clinging hand of his child makes a desperate situation a delight to him. When God sees your back up against the wall and you're in a difficult situation, an impossibility, and you see that he sees that you're clinging to his hand, oh, it's a blessing to our Heavenly Father when we trust him, when we obey him, when we stay with it, amen. Thank God he blesses that, amen. I'll tell you, God blesses faithfulness.
Right.
God blesses resolve. God blesses it, amen. Commitment. We need to have more of it, amen.
That's right.
J.R. Miller said we should sweetly consent to God's will in faith that whatever he permits in our lives is right and best for us.
Yeah.
J.C. Ryle said there's a common worldly kind of Christianity in this day, which many have and think they have enough. A cheap Christianity which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is worth nothing.
Right.
I don't want any of that. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, I'm talking about commitment and resolve. He had it. Amen.
Right.
So I want to say we can't expect every little thing to go right without any bumps and humps along the way. There are going to be tests and trials in your life. There's going to be pain in your life.
Yes.
The world uses this term I've seen on t-shirts before. No pain, no gain. And they go in there and they pump that iron.
Yeah.
Do they not?
Sure.
And I'm assuming it's painful.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell I know a lot about that.
Right, right.
I pump iron every day.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
My question is, how come we can't apply that to our lives?
Yes, yes.
No pain, no gain.
Sure. Amen.
We want a silver, we want a robe with a silver lining. We don't want nothing wrong. We don't want nothing bad to happen. I don't want to invite that. I don't care nothing about myself.
No,
but brother, it's going to come whether you want it or not. You're going to have a hard time sometime. You're going to be discouraged sometime. What do? You just persevere on the path. You keep going. I wonder if there's a chance maybe Abraham was walking up through that. I'm talking about a 3 days journey. I wonder if there's a few times maybe he wanted to turn around and go back. Maybe his old flesh cried out for deliverance.
Yes.
But he just kept to the will of God and did what God told him to do.
Yes, sir.
I like this thing of the privacy of the path. And Abraham said, he's got to the mountain now, and he says to his young men, "Abide you here with the ass, and I on the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you."
Right.
See, only Abraham and Isaac will be there.
Yes.
And no one but them, and God will bless this sacrifice. So why was this discretion in this privacy? It must be done this way, for the servants would probably have hindered Abraham from obeying God's command.
That's right.
Abraham's an old man now. They could have easily overcome him.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Isaac could have easily overcome his dad.
Sure.
I was reading after one writer, I have no reason to disagree with him, but he really believes that Isaac is at the place called Calvary, literally at Calvary, where Calvary would be. And that Isaac at this time, according to the calculations of his mother's age and all that, that Isaac was actually 33 years old, just like our Lord.
Amen.
This depicts such a picture of Calvary. It's amazing.
Yes, sir.
What are you saying, preacher? People who walk by faith must expect to walk along out of necessity sometimes. Matter of fact, even at Calvary, it was God and Jesus by themselves.
Yes.
You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that darkness fell on God, just shut out the world while him and his son saved the world.
Amen.
It can be difficult, but sometimes there comes a separation from anyone or anything that would seek to hinder your worship and obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. When me and my wife met, we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be a hindrance to each other's walk with God.
Amen.
I didn't need to get with somebody that's going to hinder me from walking with God.
Amen.
But I need somebody to compliment my walk with God.
That's
something you need to take in consideration.
Amen.
Is a mate you're getting ready to marry, they're going to compliment your walk with God, they're going to be a hindrance to you. You need to think about this stuff.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Yes. And when we found out, hey, I found out, man, she loves Jesus like I do.
Amen.
And then she hopefully found out that I love Jesus like she did.
Yeah.
We said, praise God, this can work, amen.
Amen.
You don't want to be hooked up with somebody that's going to hinder your worship. Now, and listen, we go much further than that. You got to be diligent, be aware of people or activities.
Yes, sir.
That will cool off your passion and fire for the Lord.
Amen.
It might not just be your spouse. It may be your friends that you run with.
Right.
They put a damper on your, they want to cool you down. They don't want you on fire for God. Your lie brings them under conviction.
Sure.
It troubles them. And they want you to be like they are. That's right. And so we got to be diligent, beware of people or even activities that would cool off our passion and fire for the Lord.
Amen.
I believe it was J. Wilburn Chapman that made a statement. He said, I don't want nothing to do with anything or anybody that would damper and put out my fire and my fellowship that I have with God.
Amen.
That's right.
That's
right. So I want to say you're probably always going to be around some folk. They may even be saved, but they're not willing to walk as close to the Lord as you are.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to bring you down to where they are,
yes, sir,
so they don't look as bad. God, be real careful with that.
Amen.
And listen, if anybody was just to get the burden and the desire, if anybody was to burst somebody, some of you younger folk, God was just to burst something in your heart these days, a desire, such a want for God that it's so unquenchable that you have a longing pain in your heart to be with God, to be something for God, and to go the extra mile and to step up and go further than everybody around you. Listen, you can't let them other people that don't want to do what you want to do hinder you and discourage you. Amen. That's right. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, because everybody don't want to go with God.
That's right.
Amen. Let me say last of all the promise on the path.
Yes.
Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship.
Yes.
And come again to you.
Amen.
I think just here's one of not the greatest statements from Abraham on this journey.
Yes.
He believed Isaac would come back with him.
That's right.
You say, why? Because he believed Isaac would be raised from the dead.
Amen.
If he did slay him. He was intending on slaying his own son.
Yes.
He would not hold back. By faith Abraham, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall be thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up.
Amen.
Even from the dead, from whence also received him in a figure. This was a tremendous act of faith that Abraham,
yes,
reveals to us. So then faith cometh by hearing,
yes, sir,
and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Apart from the word of God, there was no hope. His returning with Isaac relied on the word of God. So the word of God is so vital to our faith. So let me say in closing here tonight, we must be aware where churches are putting their emphasis on in our day.
Yes.
Now, we're not a big church. We don't run a lot of people, so therefore we don't have the problem with some of these things that other churches are getting involved in. Some churches, all their emphasis on is entertainment. Films, musicals,
right,
recreation, and all these things can have their places, but when they go to taking up more time than preaching and teaching of God's word,
yes, sir,
that's what eats away the faith. And no wonder there's such a little faith today in our churches.
Yes, sir.
Churches are focused on having a feel-good atmosphere instead of trying to produce a holy atmosphere.
Amen.
I can't really read in the Word of God just too many times, maybe once or twice, where anything where God said, I want you to be happy. I know He wants us to be happy. God desires for us to be happy, but even more so than that, God desires for you and I to be a holy people.
Amen.
That's right. And so We got to stay with the promise of God's word, amen.
Yes,
so what do we build the church on? We build on preaching, amen.
Amen.
Build the church on the word of God. Amen. That's right.
Right.
Amen. So praise God.
Yes, sir.
Abraham's crisis, he's in it, amen.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that he was able to get through it.
Yes, sir.
We have this wonderful story about Isaac. Such a great, great picture of Jesus and his obedience to his heavenly Father. Oh, his faith.
Amen.
Oh, praise God.